is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. We're going to continue our terrific series. I say it's terrific not because I'm preaching it, because, boy, it's right out of the Word of God. This is all about our Savior, Jesus. Not that old politically correct person whom they portray as Jesus today around the world, but the real Jesus. The Jesus that was crucified when the Jews cried out, "Give us Barabbas and crucify him." Oh, I just said something there that makes me anti-Semitic, according to the world. I was watching television the other night, the O'Reilly Factor on Fox News, and Rabbi Marvin Heer of the Wiesenthal Center out in Los Angeles. Rabbi Heer is the man, of course, who called or his group called Mia anti-Semite, because I had stated that only through Jesus can a person enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that wasn't good enough for the Wiesenthal Center run by these Jews, and they said I was an anti-Semite for preaching that, I suppose. But the interesting thing is Rabbi Marvin Heer was on the O'Reilly Factor, and he was complaining about a new movie that's being made by Australian actor Mel Gibson. Mr. Gibson, who says he's a Christian, is making this movie in which he's going to tell the biblical account of Jesus. And he wants it to be, he says, faithful to the Gospels. Well, this really alarmed the Jews. They do not mind at all another Jesus being presented, but they didn't want the true Jesus. So the Wiesenthal Center and the other groups, Jewish ADL and the others, being alarmed, began to say that Mel Gibson is an anti-Semite. And they wanted to know whether he was going to have a part in the movie where the Jews standing, you know, with Pilate there, saying, "I have judged him and found nothing wrong. He's not guilty." He didn't, the rabbi says, we don't want the Jews to be blamed for Jesus' death. Well, the Bible says very clearly that it was the Jews who cried out for Jesus to be crucified. It even goes so far as to say the Roman governor said, why do you cry out for his death? I find nothing wrong with in the man. The Bible says they cried out even the more, crucify him. And then Pilate said, I'll go ahead and crucify him if that's what you demand. But it'll be on your hands, and his blood will be on your hands. And the Jews cried out and says, yes, let it be on our heads. And on the heads of our children and their children. Oh my. They pronounced a great judgment on themselves. Let it be on our heads and our children and their children. But now they say, we don't want it on our head. We don't want to have anything to do with this. It wasn't us. We're not Christ killers. And the rabbi was telling O'Reilly that if Mel Gibson shows in there that the Jews had anything to do with Jesus' death, that that'll be anti-Semitic movie, and they oppose that. The rabbi also told O'Reilly that it would be a lie, it would be wrong and untruthful to show the Sanhedrin meeting and pronouncing judgment against Jesus. But does the Bible not say that the Jewish leaders of the synagogue and of the temple that they paid Judas 30 pieces of silver to betray him, and then they called him before their council? Oh, yes. And then they are the ones who turned him over to Pilate to be crucified. It does say that in the Bible. But the rabbi says that's a lie. That's slander against the Jewish people. And we will not allow that to be in the movie. We will see. The movie, I understand, is being produced right now. And we will see if Mel Gibson has the guts to tell the truth. You know, the reason this rabbi cannot understand what really happened to Jesus and why he wants to believe the lie is the same reason so many fake Christians would like to believe the rabbi and not the gospel account. I'll never forget a supposed Christian group from up in the state of Wisconsin, and they heard me speaking on the radio one day discussing this. And they wrote me a letter and they said, "Dear Mr. Mars, it's plain if you believe that the Jews are responsible for Jesus' death, it's plain that you're an anti-Semite. And we're going to expose you to the world as an anti-Semite unless you apologize for this view." I wrote back to him and I said, "Would you please tell me the meaning of these Bible verses?" And I gave him the Bible verses. Basically what you and I have just discussed here on this radio program. I said, "I will not answer in my defense, but I will simply quote you scripture. And since you say you're Christians, then let me know what your views are on these scriptures having to do with this subject." I got a letter back from them a week later. Oh, they were hot on this. And the man said to me in the letter, and this is almost a direct quote, he said, "How dare you quote scripture to us? Again, we demand that you apologize." How dare I quote scripture to them? Again, they demanded that I apologize. You see, my friends, they didn't want to know who the true Jesus was at all. And so I wrote them back and I said, "If you want to brand me an anti-Semite," and I was sort of nice about it, but just paraphrasing what I said. I said, "Make sure you spell my name right. It's M-A-R-R-S. But when you do, make sure that you quote what I said, which was right out of the Bible. And if that makes me an anti-Semite, I'm here." You know, I remember Jesus writing in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 50. He said, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And in John 7, verse 17, he said, "If any man will do his will," that is God's will, "he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Friends, Jesus Christ had a doctrine. And if you will follow the will of God and do his will, you will know of his doctrine. And if you will read the Gospels, you will know who Jesus was, and because he doesn't change, who he is. You'll know his character, his integrity, his honesty, his perfection, his love, his greatness, his glory, and his promise to you and me. Well, now we're going to have some music. The Last Railway to Heaven. Oh, man. Today, we're going to be looking at Jesus. But, hey, if you disagree with me on something I've said, I'd love to hear from you. If you agree with me, well, I always like people to encourage. I have great inspiration from our friends out there who write to me. If you're able to give love gifts to this ministry, we need your help. But we're going to be on here on radio every week anyway, whether you do or not. We're not down to bankruptcy level yet, and it'll be a long while before we will, but we manage our money very carefully so we can continue preaching this gospel. But we do appreciate your help, because unless you give us love gifts, there's no way, of course, we can continue on. And we do appreciate your love gifts to this ministry. And now, let's have that music. and Last Railway to Heaven. And then we'll have today's message. We're continuing our series. We're exposing the politically incorrect Jesus.
Life is like a mountain railroad.
Oh, yeah.
With an engineer that's brave. We must make the run successful. From the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, the hills, the tunnels. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail.
Yeah.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. As you roll across the trestle,
oh, boys, that's
spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you'll behold the Union Depot into which your train will glide. There you'll meet the superintendent, God the Father, God the Son. With extended hands he'll greet you. Weary pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us.
Grant it, Lord.
Till we reach that blissful shore. Where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore, forevermore.
First of all, can undertakers and mortuary people do that, raise people from the dead? No, they cannot. Why, here in the state of Texas, they got to put formaldehyde in the bodies. Well, that'll make sure they don't raise again. You know what this Jesus had the gall to say one time? He said, let the dead bury their dead. Now, would that work good in society? That's why we need funeral homes and such. The dead can't bury their dead. There was a funeral guy that was supposed to cremate bodies in Georgia or somewhere down there, and he didn't do it, and he just let the dead bury the dead, and pretty soon 300 or 400 bodies were collected. Would Jesus have done such a thing? I mean, you can really make a case against this guy. He could be misunderstood. And then there's the animal cruelty. Now, you animal lovers out there, get ready to get mad. Did you know when he cast out those devils from the man at the tombs? It said in the Bible there, a herd of swine, those are pigs, they ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. They were so frightened of Jesus. Killed a whole herd of swine, of pigs. Boy, I tell you, that was reported on the news today, they'd be finding out who that man was who ran a whole herd of pigs over a cliff. And listen to this one. He obviously, was he a thief? We have to investigate this one. Did you know that in one instance he told his disciples to steal? Well, now maybe not steal, but we don't have any evidence that he owned it. To ride, that he needed a donkey. He said, just go get that donkey. And when they ask you why you're taking him, just say, because the master has need of him. Well, a lot of people have needs of things, but they don't tell their disciples, go out and take it. Besides that, we don't have any evidence that this pet donkey had ID tags and vaccinations, had seen a vet locally and all that kind of stuff. There he was being rode down the road in Jerusalem. Listen to this. Here's another thing. You know, there's laws against making counterfeit money. There is evidence presented in the Holy Scriptures that Jesus once told his followers, you can find a coin, a very valuable coin, in the mouth of a fish.
And they got this fish and they opened its mouth and there was a valuable coin for them to buy for all their needs. Now some would say that's a miracle, but if you're a devil's advocate, you would say, wait just a minute. This sounds like this was rigged. Didn't this Jesus actually put the coin in the mouth of the fish and throw the fish into the water? And then he must have known that his disciples would fish right there and get that exact fish. Maybe it was the only one in that area. I mean, I don't know how to do that. I mean, this guy must have been very clever to have made sure that they caught exactly that fish. But in any case, whatever is the case, that coin was not minted at the mint house of the government. Only the government has the right to mint and manufacture coins and currency. And if you do it, you can claim it's a miracle all you want, but you're going to go to jail. That's counterfeiting. Maybe Jesus broke the law. And I have evidence of it in Matthew 17, verses 25 through 27. That's not all. Listen to this. This Jesus is so politically incorrect. He discriminates against homosexuality. Say that again. He discriminates against homosexuals. You want proof? Okay, here it is. Here it is. Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. Jesus was quoted as saying, quote, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause a man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be as one?" Where is the same-sex marriages here? There's none that I can see. This Jesus was against same-sex marriage. And here's another one. Mark chapter 10, verse 7. He said, "But from the beginning of the creation," this is Jesus' words, "but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." No, there's some people that he made half male and half female, or sort of a Grand Duke mixture, androgynous, hermaphrodite. I mean, come on. That's what they say today. The gays say, "I was born this way. This is the way God made me. It's natural. It's divinely ordered." Jesus said, God only made male and female. Now, here's something that you people that are interested in promoting the labor laws, the U.S. Department of Labor and all of your state labor bureaus. Did you know that Jesus recommended the paying of a different wage to different people doing the same job? Ooh. In Matthew 20, we're told of some who worked all day out in the heat, and they only received the same wage as those who worked an hour. And Jesus had the audacity to attempt to justify this by telling the workers, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." Now, try to get away with that if you're an employer today. One works 1 hour, one works eight. And the ones that work eight say, "You're paying that guy the same as me, and he only worked an hour." And then for you to turn around and say, "Well, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first." I bet you'd say, I'm going to see my EOC officer. I'm going to complain to the union. I'm going to get you in trouble, buddy. You're not a fair employer. You're not politically correct. He would get in a lot of trouble. First of all, did not Jesus break fish and wildlife regulations? Didn't he also violate the Endangered Species Act? Well, let's look at that. Remember, Jesus admitted to fishing? The Bible says that he was fishing, and I don't think there's any evidence that he had a license, and every locale and state now require a license. And you know, there's a catch limit. I know down here on the Gulf of Mexico and Texas, I'm not a big fisherman. I've just played around a little bit, haven't done a good job of fishing, but the friends that are mine, they tell me that you can only catch so many of certain kinds of fish. Well, Jesus one time assisted his disciples, and they threw their nets into a certain place, and they caught so many fish, it broke their net. It filled up two ships full of fish that had to violate the catch limit. And how do we know that he wasn't fishing out of season? We don't. And listen to this, you environmentalists, doesn't it make you angry? The Bible doesn't say that there were any safeguards to make sure that no dolphins or other protected species were not entrapped in those nets.
You know, you see these little tuna fish cans and it says, you know, dolphin free or something like that. Now, let's move to another area. You know, a lot of people would say that Jesus is politically incorrect because he was so anti-government. Now, I know a lot of Christians say, oh, no, he was a big supporter of the government. Well, let's just look at the evidence, my friends. Let's look at the evidence. Did he not call the head of government, King Herod, a derogatory name? Remember that? He called him that old fox. And you know, when he was in King Herod's presence, all Herod asked for was for him to do a little magic, and Jesus just stood there mute. Wasn't that disrespectful to government? Refused to say anything. Later on, they, you know, in front of Pilate, he also refused to speak at first. Wouldn't defend himself. Very uncooperative witness, wasn't he? And you know what? He had to be anti-government because he claimed to be a king. But, of course, even back then they said he had no legitimate claim to a kingdom. And it seems that the world today also says Jesus doesn't have any legitimate claim to a kingdom. Doesn't seem like there's many people out there that want to be part of his kingdom. And even Jesus testified there would only be the few, and most would go the other pathway. Now, the Bible also tells us, presents evidence, that Jesus once said that if he wanted to, he could order his servants to fight against the legally constituted head of government. That's what he told the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. Hey, in today's 9/11 environment, that could be a terrorist threat. I mean, what if I were to tell the FBI or the local police, hey, if I wanted to, I could order my servants to fight against this government. I could war against you if I wanted to. Oh, my, you'd be threatening the government, wouldn't you? You could be hauled up under conspiracy to commit terrorism charges. Certainly, Jesus was a conspiracy theorist, wasn't he? Did you know that he testified all kinds of things that were going to happen? He prophesied, for example, that there would be another kingdom coming, that government of Israel would fall. What if I were to go around today? What if Jesus were to come back today and say, this America is going to fall? The sins of this country are so bad, this whole nation is going to fall. Why, they would start to say, you're blaming America for what the terrorists did. Remember Jerry Falwell said that the homosexuals and the others were responsible because of their sins for what happened at the World Trade Center? And everybody jumped on the bandwagon and criticized poor old Jerry Falwell. And then Jerry Falwell apologized and said, I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Well, Jesus, I know, would not apologize. He would say, your sins will bring you destruction. Blame yourself, he would say. And then people would get so mad. He was a conspiracy theorist. He believed there was a conspiracy against him. He often talked about the conspiracy against him. Maybe he was paranoid. Politically incorrect. Now, as I mentioned to you, his birth was never recorded on census records. So if he were arrested, the authorities would find that out and say, you must be an illegal alien. You don't have a Social Security card. You don't have a Social Security number. You're not on the census records. Then they would find about the fact that his parents, right after he was born, fled to Egypt. Well, what if somebody's parents fled to Mexico or Canada right after their child was born? What are they trying to hide? Maybe they're illegal aliens. Maybe they broke the law. Maybe they need to be investigated. You know, one time Jesus warned, the scriptures say, he warned that the kingdom would be taken away from Israel and given to another nation. Wow, that sounds like a threat to commit treason. We're going to give this nation to another nation. Sounds like treason. Politically incorrect. And you know, he certainly did associate with foreigners. Remember those Samaritans? It all looks suspicious. He was not on the census records. His parents had fled away to Egypt right after he was born. He talked about being king of some other place, some other nation. And he talked about giving the nation up to another nation, letting another nation take it over. And he associated with foreigners. All of these seem to be very suspicious activities. Now let's turn to the problem with wine. Oh, yes. There's some liquor law violations that this man seemed to have violated. Now, you Southern Baptists particularly might be interested in this, because it seems there's a report in the Scriptures that Jesus and his mother served liquor, that is, wine, to guests. Now, there was no evidence that it had a tax stamp on it. There was no evidence that there had been a license to manufacture and produce wine. They say Jesus made it himself. Well, you authorities, you Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm, you may want to take note on that. You didn't get your tax money. You know, I don't know for sure, but they tell me that most liquor and liquor stores, that most of the price of that is taxes, federal taxes. Jesus didn't pay that tax. He just made that wine. And by reports, by the way, they said it was seemed to be about the best wine they had ever tasted. They said he saved it, in fact, for his guest to last. BATF, take notice. Here's obviously a criminal.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.